Good morning and welcome to Local Matters Health Matters, where we spotlight key health issues and community concerns across the Upper Cumberland. I'm Dr. Emily Lee.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Mabry.
We're professors at the Whitson Hester School of Nursing at Tennessee Tech University. This May, we're recognizing National Women's Health Month, a time dedicated to empowering women to make their health a priority through education, preventive care, and informed lifestyle choices. It's also an opportunity to address the widespread information and misinformation surrounding women's health issues. Joining us today is Ashley Kuhn, a family nurse practitioner with the Putnam County Health Department. She's here to share valuable insights on how women can take charge of their health, common misconceptions that need to be cleared up, and why staying informed is one of the best steps toward wellness. Ashley, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, yes, thank you for having me.
Can you start by telling us a bit about your role as a nurse practitioner with the Putnam County Health Department?
Yes, ma'am. So I am a nurse practitioner, as stated, at the Putnam County Health Department, and I work primarily in family planning and providing care and services to women that are of childbearing years. In addition to that, I also do women's health clinics as an outreach to help aid in getting our patients preventative screenings such as PAPs and mammograms for those who are menopausal as well.
Okay. And what drew you to a career in public health and then women's health specifically?
Yeah. Okay. So I've always been drawn to just serving the underserved, underinsured, and or uninsured. And so I've always just had a passion for that. And the health department, I did actually some clinicals there when I was in school at Tech. And I just had a wonderful
Wings up.
That's right. Wings up. I had a wonderful experience there with the staff, with the leadership, and just knew that if the opportunity became available, that would be something that I would pursue. And so specifically when I did women's health, I really liked the education that I got to pour into women and just, being able to discuss things that were important and have the potential to, impact their lives, save mm-hmm. their lives. And so I was welcomed aboard there, and it's been a great experience.
Wonderful. Now, what was your career before that?
So before I was a critical care ICU nurse, I worked in the cancer center also at the hospital, and that really allowed me to just see the back end of, the cancer part and the importance of those preventative yeah. type screenings and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about the kinds of services that the health department offers when it comes to women's health.
Okay, so the health department offers everything that would fall under the umbrella of preventative. So pap smears, we start paps at age 21. Those guidelines have shifted significantly in my lifetime, mm-hmm. And yeah. so PAPs start at age 21 now, and then also mammograms starting at age 40. Also, there's been a lot of back and forth with mammograms, as we all know. Mm-hmm. So 40, as long as, there's not a first degree relative with breast cancer. And so we get women the orders for mammograms, and we have great partnerships here locally to get that done. Okay. We get those ordered, and then as far as the PAPs go, we do those in-house. Yes, okay. ma'am.
And you offer any specific vaccines for women specifically?
So we do have, vaccines we have available, for women, HPV vaccines. Also, of course, yep. any type of seasonal okay. Vaccine as well. Pretty much if, vaccines, that's a big drive for public health. So,
yeah, absolutely. So we're talking about National Women's Health Month with local family nurse practitioner Ashley Kuhn from the Putnam County Health Department. So tell us, what do you enjoy most about working in the community health, and especially in your current role here in the Upper Cumberland?
I really like, you know, I'm from here, so I really like being able to stay local, and just we have a great, this Upper Cumberland region, our, you know, the health department. One thing I didn't realize about the health department was how many services are offered mm-hmm. until I did some clinicals there, and then just seeing what all we're able to do for people, offer people, you know, just in general. And so I love being able to give back, and I feel that that allows us to do that. We can help people who otherwise wouldn't be able to get the help they need. The Tennessee Breast and Cervical Screening offers mammograms and pap smears, and it makes people who otherwise would not be able to get those services get them covered. And it's just a wonderful resource.
That is a great resource. Who can access women's health services at the health department?
So really, as far as women's health services, anyone can access the services. As far as there are certain income guidelines based off of mammograms to fall under that breast and cervical screening, which is called BCS. But the first step really is just making the call, getting the appointment set up. And then if you can't qualify for that, there are other ways that we have to try to get people qualified to get those screenings done.
Okay, that's great. That's great information for listeners and also providers too. I think a lot of healthcare providers in the area might not realize what resources that the health department could offer as well.
Absolutely.
How did people get access to the services at the health department? So, like you said, they call in. Does it take months to get in to get appointments? Are they pretty quick? Or
yeah,
these are screenings. So,
right. Yeah, right. No, that's a great question. So we try to get them worked in pretty quickly. And depending on what it is, if it is a screening, you know, we try to get them, you know, if they just need to establish care and get, you know, within a couple months. But then also we have a wonderful, like, primary care system. And just I have several colleagues, and we try to get people in for any type of, you know, if they're sick, that, of course, is a little more urgent. We try to get those worked in as soon as possible. But if they're not having any issues and just need to get set up within a couple of months.
Yeah. Good. Okay, that's good to know, because, you know, that is access to care.
Right.
And that's what the health department, in my mind, when I think of public health, it's helping those social determinants of health. It is, you know, making access to care for everybody, because you see people regardless of race, age, ethnicity, gender.
Right.
Yes. Your doors are open.
That's right.
And that a lot of practices base it on insurance, what insurance people have. And I find that unique with a health department that you guys do not do that. It is health care for all, which it should be for all Tennesseans.
Right. Yes. No, okay. Definitely. We work hard to just make sure that our area is served and those around us are served. Mm-hmm. And, you know, very fortunate to be a part of a great team with great leadership that really works hard in our community.
No, you guys do a great job. And, you know, when I was growing up, I went to the health department. You know, when I was first married and we didn't have insurance and I was a student and I had, you know, I went to Jackson County Health Department down there. And then sometimes if she couldn't see me, I'd go to Clay County because I could go right across the, you know, the county line. Mm-hmm. And access was always efficient. It was always kind. And very cost effective, and I could get my medicines there. You know, at the time I was doing family planning, so I was trying to do some birth control, which we'll get into. And there was no cost at that time. So, you know, to me, that was a great resource in public health. So, Women's Health Month is May. Why is this month important, and what message, Ashley, do you want women to know for May? Specifically, like if you have one message or a couple messages you want for your women that you see.
I tell my patients quite frequently that if I could really really hone in on one thing, I would tell them that in the United States, there should never be a woman that should die of cervical cancer.
Amen.
And so really just getting that screening done. The thing is, it requires the screening. And so, you know, it's estimated that over 4,000 women will die this year of cervical cancer. And that just, that really hurts my heart. I hate to see it because it is so detectable and treatable if caught early. Mm-hmm. But once it gets to the advanced stages, you know, it has high mortality rates. Mm-hmm. So just getting in, getting that screening done, understanding that I tell them, like, if they're, you know, screenings I had mentioned earlier start at 21. Mm-hmm. So if we're 19, I say, I want you to know that no matter where you are, if you're a tech student, you know, and when you turn 21, if you're in Tennessee, if you're in Florida, if you're wherever, just make sure that you get that screening done because it has the potential to save your life. And I see that firsthand. I see bad cases. I see bad cases that have good outcomes because people followed up as they should.
Yeah. What does that pap smear involve? Because that's probably one of those items that women avoid it because it is uncomfortable to some and just the fear. So how do you overcome that fear?
Right. I tell women that nobody ever wakes up on pap day and is like, woohoo, I get to go and see Ashley and hang out with Ashley today. But, you know, I just walk them through that process. I tell them what's going to come before it happens and that, you know, it really is not a painful process. Good. Is it awkward and uncomfortable? Yes. But should it cause pain? No. And the implications are huge for, you know, potentially life-saving.
Very good. Ashley Kuhn, family nurse practitioner from Putnam County Health Department, discussing National Women's Health Month in the Upper Cumberland. We're talking today about National Women's Health Month with local nurse practitioner Ashley Kuhn from the Putnam County Health Department. So, Ashley, let's talk, what are the most, you know, last segment you mentioned pap smears, you mentioned mammograms, very important for the younger people that you see, women. Are there screenings that you do before that? Like if a patient is sexually active before age 21, are there guidelines where you will treat them before that or do screenings before that? Or do you actually – what do you do? I guess that's what I need to say. Okay. I need to hush.
So often, you know – the pap smear itself may start at 21, and and sometimes, in fact, quite often, I do a lot of education about people feel like they had a pap smear when, in fact, they had a pelvic exam. So if ever, and they're very similar. The difference is a pap smear would require a swab, a send-off to a lab to look at the cytology or the cells to make sure there's nothing abnormal as to where a pelvic exam just allows us to take a look to make sure we don't see anything abnormal. You know, are they having discharge or pain? You know, something that we would need to look and just verify that everything, you know, if they need additional imaging or testing or what have you.
Okay.
And so that may, you know, that can come once you're sexually active. And so that just is really depending on the patient and how they present as to when we would do a pelvic exam.
Okay. Good distinction, because that is a myth that people think because they get an exam in their private regions that's automatically, that was a pap. So that's good that you give that distinction that's not always. It has to be a lab that's sent out.
Not necessarily.
Yeah. Right. And sometimes they think, well, I had a baby. This I get a lot also, another kind of misconception. Mm-hmm. I had a baby, so I for sure had a pap smear. And I say, well, if you don't mind, we'll go ahead and have you sign for those records so that I can verify that.
Yeah.
And then I'll verify it and put it on your chart. And if so, then I'll let you know when your next recommendation is for a pap. As opposed to just saying, yeah, okay, they they stated they had a pap smear, because oftentimes, again, you're having so many exams that gets confusing.
Yeah, it does. It does. How often do women need a pap smear if they're normal? Like, so I come in at age 21. Is that something I got to do every year?
I love this talk because, again, not to reveal my age, but we started having, you know, paps at, I tell people, at 18, if you were sexually active, mm-hmm. if you started birth control, mm-hmm. if you looked left instead of right. And, you know, now it is age 21, mm-hmm. and not because Ashley says so, but because a lot of research has been poured into that decision.
Yeah.
And it is every 3 years, as long as the pap is normal, from age 21 to 29. Mm-hmm. Once you turn 30, then it is HPV testing starting at age 30, and that's every 5 years again, and that is as long as everything has been normal up until that point. And if it's abnormal, well, there's a whole lot of variables there, and mm-hmm. so I say we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Good thought. So what is HPV? You mentioned that. Can you explain what that is for the listeners?
Sure, yes. HPV is a virus that is passed sexually, and a lot of times, in fact, most people have no idea that they have it. And HPV manifests itself in both women and men. And that is why it is exceptionally important to have the pap smear, because HPV is the leading cause of cervical cancer.
Oh, good to know. So mm-hmm. it's a virus that's
transmitted sexually.
And it's no symptoms
yep.
at all. Right. I would have no discharge. I would have no odor. I would have no complaints, no pelvic pain.
You would not. Nothing. Now, sometimes you can have, like, genital warts that mm-hmm. are HPV
driven. Virus.
But again, as far as, like, what would be on a pap smear, mm-hmm. that would not be, you wouldn't know, oh, I have HPV 16, unless you had a pap that detected that.
Okay. So there's two different kinds of paps.
Yep.
I have learned something today.
Yep.
Because I have not done this in a while. Yes. Yeah. I have not done, yeah. Primary care has not been a while.
Okay.
And so then, are there any other health screenings? So pap, that was great information. Good to know it doesn't have to be every year.
Mammogram,
we HPV. Talked about. HPV. What about, are there specific tests you do on young women that are sexually active? Is there like a routine screen you do for them that is a service at the health department? They come in, they say they have pelvic pain, they say they have maybe a discharge, and they want to know more and figure out what's going on.
Sure. And so we do all types of STI testing.
Okay.
And that can, you know, I recommend always, it's actually highly recommended that any woman under the age of 25 have routine STI testing, because again, you know, we look through the lens of what keeps the patient safe, and untreated STIs can lend to pelvic inflammatory disease, can cause infertility among women, and that is a big deal. And so getting those screenings, getting that testing done, we offer that. And also I tell people if they've had more than one partner or partner change, and sometimes it's just good, it's just a good practice, because mm-hmm. again, if you're sexually active, just making sure that you don't have anything that would need treatment that could impact your life long term. Mm-hmm.
Good to know, because that is something that I know when I do STI testing on people in an urgent care setting, and I explain to them that these are the consequences if we do not treat this properly. And when I mention infertility, men and women,
mm-hmm.
that is usually I get a look from the patient that is like, I didn't know that. I didn't know it could make me not be able to bear children later on. So that is a good point mm-hmm. That I think the listeners need to know as well.
Mm-hmm. And as we get older, is there another screening that's maybe not specific to women, but it is offered to women as well as men?
Yes, just really important for that colorectal screening. And we do that with a fit test at the health department. So we start that at age 45, again, unless we have a reason that it may need to be done sooner. Mm-hmm. And we have, you know, different options for that, getting people, you know, set up, established in primary care, getting that screening done. They can either mail it in or bring it back in and drop it off. And then, you know, again, if it were to be positive, there are different variables that we would go through with that. But just getting it done and getting it done annually, you know, again, big deal, big potential to help keep someone well.
Prevention. Prevention is key. So we're talking National Women's Health Month with local family nurse practitioner Ashley Kuhn from the Putnam County Health Department. And more on women's health information when we come back.
I didn't know how much time we had.
Our guest today is Ashley Kuhn, family nurse practitioner from the Putnam County Health Department on local matters, health matters. So, Ashley, we've talked a lot about prevention. We've talked a lot about women's health issues, some health information, and misinformation. And you've talked about myths as far as, you know, about the pap smear, HPV. Is there any other myths or misinformation that you feel like women should know about regarding women's health?
Go ahead. I've got one now for you.
Okay. Do you want to go first?
Well, no, I was going to ask you about mental health in women.
Okay.
As being a myth. You know, that it's all in your head. You can handle it.
Right.
It's just stress. You need to sleep more. So how do you handle those patients when they come in with mental health issues? You know, they're coming in for a routine visit with you. How do you approach that?
Yes, definitely. You know, mental health, I think, is not addressed frequently enough.
Exactly.
And I tell my patients, I try to look at what I call the trifecta, the physical health, the mental health, and the period health, because, you know, they all have all the potential to impact your life. And
yeah.
So with mental health, I ask very direct questions,
yeah,
because I want people to be able to have a space they can speak freely.
Mm-hmm.
If they are in any type of trouble or feel that they need help, you know, we'll call crisis if they feel they need that, or just getting them set up with, there are a lot of resources for uninsured, underinsured here locally. And just I have, and I know several providers, you know, we have a list that we give them that lists like their options to those who don't have insurance and
good.
Like places they can reach out to. But I always just ask them, are you safe? Do you feel safe? And if there's ever a time that you don't, you can walk in these doors and say, I need to see Ashley. I'm not safe. We'll get you the help you need. We'll try to our best to get it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So how do you respond to concerns or confusion? So we've talked a little bit about the HPV vaccine specifically, mm-hmm, but how do you respond to concerns that women might have around vaccines like HPV or vaccines during pregnancy? Because
yeah,
there's a lot of concern or
myth,
confusion.
Yeah. About what you can,
Right. And so I really just try to speak factual data to patients pertaining to vaccines. And if ever they have like additional questions about should they get this vaccine, you know, is it safe or is it not, I try to pull and print things from both the CDC. You know, we look at UpToDate a lot and just, mm-hmm, give them an unbiased factual standpoint, and then just tell them, you know, if they have additional questions, you know, if they're pregnant, they can ask their OB.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's really like during pregnancy, there are some things you cannot get, and
mm-hmm,
but definitely they, you know, the Tdap and just protection against pertussis, and just really getting that, and at what point they get it at, I just tell them really they need to go back, you know, have that discussion with their GYN and make a decision that will work best for them.
Yeah. And their family practice doctor. So if
right,
they're not pregnant,
well,
they might could have a conversation or with you guys,
yes,
over at the health department,
mm-hmm,
if they've got more questions. So that really helps clear up some confusion. about vaccines. Because a lot of people just don't know. They don't know when or what they need at what point. So that's important. So many women, we do know, also delay seeking care. Mm-hmm. Women are busy. They have busy schedules. They are caretakers, lots of different roles of caretaking possibly. So how do you encourage women to prioritize their health?
That is a great one because, you know, you absolutely are spot on. Women, you know, we are always the last. We see ourselves as last because of our, you know, the many hats we wear. But just on a regular basis, I educate and I tell them you cannot pour from an empty cup. You know, you can't give to others if you don't take care of yourself. And so if you let yourself, you know, if you're diabetic and you're not addressing your diabetes, if you have hypertension, you're not getting, you know, those screenings and addressing your blood pressure, these things may not affect you right now as much when you're 25 or 30, mm-hmm. but they are definitely going to. And yep. so getting ahead of yourself and taking care of yourself is going to help you to be able to take care of your loved ones better and yourself.
Yeah. Prevention's key. I mean, if it's preventable and you don't take the time, then you may end up with those diseases or right. worsening disease processes.
I do that, you know, in my practice as well. If I'm trying to convince or motivational interviewing with a client, you know, I do bring it back around to, Who are you here for? You know, are you here for your kids? Are you here for your partner? Are you here for, are you caretaking for your mother? You know, who, an aunt, an uncle? Who are you here for? Okay, well, they need you here. You know, and kind of framing it that way is just kind of like, but in a different manner that you do. You have to take care of yourself
first.
Or you're not going to be able to be there for them.
It's kind of like being on the airplane. You need to put oxygen on yourself first before you can help somebody else.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I like the empty cup, too.
I do like the empty cup.
I do.
That's a really good point. Mm-hmm. So switching gears just a little bit, but along the same lines, safety. Safety is a big part of our health.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different safety concerns depending on the population. But can you talk about how women can take steps to protect themselves? I know you mentioned already about if they felt unsafe that they could come into you. But thinking of physical safety, mental safety, we've talked a little bit about emotional safety.
Yes, and so, sorry, excuse me. One thing that I really think is extremely important as well that I address with my population is just making sure that they're aware of the things that lurk around them that they may not realize are could potentially be a threat. So I talk a lot about, you know, human trafficking and just recognizing that and realizing that people come in all shapes and forms. The internet is, you know, be leery of people who may present in some type of way. And even, you know, we're in a great area and we're very fortunate, but just always being mindful of things around you as well. And in order to keep yourself safe in that regard. And then just as far as emotional safety, I address, are you, you know, is anyone harming you? Is anybody forcing you into any type of situation? You can't, you will never know the answer to a question if you don't ask it. Mm-hmm. And again, just trying to create a space where they feel like they can be open and share things that they may not say anywhere else. And just what to look for, you know, are there warning signs that we need to kind of be mindful of and just say, hey, you know, this is a place where you can say whatever you need to say without fear of retribution from that. So,
what are some of the warning signs that you look for on a patient? So they don't verbalize something to you. What would you, you know, if there's listeners out there that are aware or have family members, what are things that you look for that you would be concerned about a patient in a harmful situation?
So I look for body language a lot. Mm. So as I'm asking the question, I look for the response, how they respond. Also, are they by themselves? Are they with people or the people that are with them trying to answer the questions. If so, then I'll try to say, hey, this is a time in the appointment that we have to have everybody out of the room, you know, if I can, if age allows. Then I try to, you know, just say, I'm going to let you have another opportunity. Is there anything you need to share? You know, that type of thing. Of course, if they have any bruising or anything like that, and I just ask directly. I don't beat around a bush. Yeah. Is someone hurting you?
Yeah.
Is this from someone harming you? Yeah. You know, and again, I just look for their response in that. So
that's good.
Yeah,
yeah, you can tell a lot about somebody's body language and just eye contact, and then with those people answering for them or refusing to leave the room.
Right. Yes.
I mean, I've had that happen before. Mm-hmm. They're like, no, I have to answer for her or him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tattoos? Anything? Do you ever look at tattoos and kind of be like, what's going on here?
You know, I see.
They're so common now.
Yeah, they are so common. So I don't, that really,
I
never think.
That doesn't trigger you.
It may trigger me into a conversation like, hey, so, you know, tell me about this story. Also, I do, you know, there may be a time where I need to kind of deflect them. And so that may open the door for a conversation. And actually, I do use that, you know, as a conversation starter a lot.
So they'll start, kind of feel comfortable to you. Oh, yeah, I got this one from you.
But it's important for listeners to know, too, that you're asking all women these questions.
Yes.
You're not picking out certain women to ask these.
No.
This is important for every woman and their health. So kind of closing up our segment a little bit, but
and
there's so many things we could talk about.
Right.
But can you tell me what your top three, I'm going to limit to three, tips for women in the Upper Cumberland who may want to take control of their health and stay well year-round, not just in May, during Women's Health Month?
Sure. So I think that if I had only three, I could say one, I feel like that has a potential to impact women is based off of things, the food, what you put in your body matters. Mm-hmm. And so just trying to make good choices, healthy, fresh when you can, exercise. And so that is the first one. The second would be to reach out, see what's available for you as far as preventative. Don't be afraid to get things done that could potentially save your life. And so reach out to your local provider, the health department. You know, any questions, we would love to answer. And really just making sure that you don't ignore things. Listen to what your body tells you. If you are hurting, you're sick, you're not sure, make sure you get those annual exams done. And we also, in addition to our women's health services, have great primary care services
you guys
as well.
Do.
So,
those are awesome tips. Great feedback for listeners for the Upper Cumberland. Thank you again, Ashley Kuhn, family nurse practitioner with the Putnam County Health Department, for joining us today and sharing lots of valuable information for women's health. Thanks for tuning in to Local Matters, Health Matters. Until next time, take care and be well.